Welcome to the Sportscast, January 31st, 2019. Today is the last day that you're able to hear the Sportscast on the Sleon Productions podcast channel, starting tomorrow, or I mean probably next week actually, because there'll be no show tomorrow. You can hear the Sportscast on its own channels, on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, TuneIn. And you could go to thesportscast.net for all information where you can listen to the Sportscast. In February, it will no longer be on this channel, but on the Sportscast channels. And that is the only announcement I have for today. It's Super Bowl week. Big week in sports. Big week in football. Football caps off this weekend. This is the conclusion of both college and professional football this weekend. We'll find out who is the best in the world between the Patriots and the Rams. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about it and to preview about it is Mr. Justin Riley. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Am I the series finale a podcast? Is that what you're telling me? You're telling me that I'm the last voice that our audience will get to hear? Isn't that just so fitting, Santiago?
It is very fitting. You definitely are going to be the icing on the cake. Obviously, you know, people, the format of the show will stay the same. It's just be on a different platform. I mean, and a whole different channels. But yeah, people on this channel that don't like sports or don't really are interested in the Sportscast, who still listen to it, this will be their last time listening to a Sportscast on this channel. So.
Man, this is a pretty big deal. I'm pretty excited to be on the final installment. I hope it is life-changing and will cause the audience to carry over to our new and improved venue.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. But definitely, it's definitely going to be very, very encouraging. We'll see, you know, like the website is launched and hopefully see more articles from you and from Tyler and Krista and many more. But anyways, let's get right to it. Super Bowl this weekend, you know, you have almost, you know, most of the week to think about it. What are your thoughts?
Man, I'm kind of feeling out of place right now because there's no Alabama football to talk about. But hey, there are former Alabama players on both teams in the Super Bowl, so I guess in some indirect way that still is talking about Alabama football. So no. Well, looking forward to the culmination of the NFL season, the final game that determined the best in the world. But are we really determining the best in the world? Because, yeah, a lot of people still feel that the Saints should be there, but we're not here to talk about all that controversy. We're here to talk about what actually is, and that's the New England Patriots versus the L.A. Rams. Looking forward to it. It's a pretty big deal. Tom Brady, who's played for 200 years, is going for a 70th Super Bowl victory. it's a pretty good venue, I think. Atlanta is rocking this week, and a lot to be excited about. The Patriots in this matchup have been named by some of these Ram players as the old guys. Well, I think you better be careful there, young buck. Sometimes old school has a little bit more left in them, especially when it comes to Tom Brady and company. So I think you better kind of watch out. But exciting matchup.
Now, you know, breaking down to it, obviously we do have game predictions towards the end. Which team has the advantage?
Well, the biggest advantage lies with the Patriots just because they've been there the past decade or so. Tom Brady, most importantly, has been there from the very, very beginning of all of this. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, when it comes to postseason on any stage, experience is very, very big. You know, when you look at both these teams, offensively, they're almost mirror images of each other. Especially when it comes to points per game, total offense, yards, et cetera, et cetera. For example, Tom Brady, during the regular season, threw for 4,355 yards with 29 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, whereas Jared Goff threw for 4,688 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. So they're kind of about the same. You know, while the Rams have key players that have accumulated a lot of yards, like Todd Gurley with 2,251 yards rushing with 580 yards receiving. Robert Woods has got over 1,200 yards. Brandon Cooks over 1,200 yards. The Patriots have several players who combine for the team's total yards in chunks. So it's not really one or two or three specific players who just have the bulk of the stats. It's by committee. You know, what's really good about having those players doing it by committee, the Patriots, this is how they're so successful offensively. With those players, they methodically wear you down. They might get started with Sonny Michel running the ball. Then they'll flip it to James White, either run the ball or catching passes. Then you got Gronk. If he starts to wear on you a little bit, oh, now they're going to Rex Burkhead. He starts to wear on you a little bit, oh, well, there goes the ball to Julian Edelman. He starts to wear on you a little bit, it's Chris Hogan. So it's a nonstop passing of the torch to several offensive players. And that can definitely wear a defense out and definitely confuse the defense, because there's really no way for them to confidently get set, because they never really know where the ball is going. And to top it off, Tom Brady's in control usually at all times. But here's the thing. They got a tough task of going against a nasty defense and arguably one of the league's best defensive fronts. Just to name a few examples, we got Dante Fowler up there, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald. Man, listen to this stat. This season was responsible for 20.5 sacks. Can you tell me, Santiago, what the best sack total was by a Patriots player?
I don't remember.
That was Trey Flowers. He had 7.5.
What year was this?
This season.
Wow.
7.5 to Aaron Donald's 20.5 sacks. That's absolutely incredible.
It's quite a difference, isn't it?
Then, my gosh. But then, but literally, outside of Aaron Donald, who really puts up those kind of numbers anyway? I mean, he's insane. Linebacker, they got Corey Littleton, who leads the team in tackles. I believe he has somewhere in the neighborhood of 125. The Patriots' leading tackler has 90-something. Again, a disparity. Of course, those are a few names that the Rams' defense alone is like a super team, man. Just about anybody on that defense is going to just rip you a new one, you know, and let you know, hey, we're legit, and there's a reason why we got to where we are right now.
So, I mean, it's coming down, you know, between talent versus experience. That's what it's coming down to.
It really does. The key for the Patriots here is during the past 2 weeks, the Rams have been told that they aren't supposed to be there. Okay? The Patriots have to make them feel like that from the get-go. They got to put them away fast and don't let them hang around. They were guilty of that, as I talked about in the previous podcast, against Kansas City. And they were able to get away with it. But you don't want to try to play that game twice, because it could bite you in the butt. Matter of fact, New Orleans played that a little bit with them, and it did bite them in the butt. So, you know, they got to get to them, and they got to put them away fast. And you got to expose that inexperience. And more importantly, the Patriots, as well as Tom Brady, have got to be the Patriots. Don't try to do something that's out of the ordinary or unorthodox. Be the Patriots. You know, and then for the Rams, they got to prove they're supposed to be there. You know, they've been hearing nonstop talk and broadcasts about that call that should have been made and so on and so forth. You know, they got to prove that they deserve to be there. It wasn't some technicality that got them there. That they are as good as advertised. That, you know, they have one of the best records in the league for a reason. They got to establish a rhythm early. I mean, not wait till late in the game, because if they do that, the Patriots are going to capitalize, and it's not going to be worth watching.
Yeah, it's
big thing here.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, big thing here, and you may agree with me with this or not, Todd Gurley has got to contribute. I'm talking about not just be there and do a couple of things here and there. He's got to put up a Todd Gurley performance. You agree with me?
Now, the question is, will Todd Gurley be healthy for the match?
That's a huge, important question. That's one of the questions that I had to ask, you know, going into this cast. How effective will Todd Gurley be in this game? He's responsible for one of the largest offensive outputs for the team.
But don't you think C.J. Anderson is doing enough?
No. Well, C.J. Anderson is doing okay. You know, he really wasn't that spectacular during the regular season until, you know, kind of towards the end. But C.J.'s not the answer. You know, he's a great complement to what's going on. Todd Gurley is that answer. Gurley is the face of the offense. He's got to establish himself in this game and establish dominance, because the entire team offensively feeds off of that.
Yeah, that's something that people have been debating about. You know, Todd Gurley was not playing. I think he had 4 touches in the NFC Championship game. But C.J. Anderson, I think, performed enough for them to win. Obviously, the Rams were down most of the game until the end. I mean, they were in the lead when they won the game. So maybe you're right. Maybe if they had Todd Gurley, the points would be different.
Well, and you're right. He only had, I think, 4 touches for a total offensive output of 13 yards last week. That's not going to get it done. And I'm not slighting the Saints. The Saints are very good, but they could do that against a Saints team. You can't do that against New England. Now, I will tell you, New England, like we discussed in the past, they don't have one of the typical New England defenses. They have an all right defense. They have a defense that's reliable. Yeah, they may give up some things here and there, but when it comes down to it, they're going to do what they need to do to perform for that team and get offenses off the field.
Now, back to the Patriots. Have you noticed that they don't have a stellar wide receiver? They've been using Edelman. They've been using Chris Hogan and, of course, Gronkowski. They're using something very minimal, but it's working out.
Well, the thing is, they don't have to have a star receiver, because all of them combined are that star receiver. Like I mentioned earlier, you've got Edelman as well as White. James White's also considered a receiver too, I mean, because he's got a ton of yards receiving. James White, Chris Hogan, and Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, Gronk. And like I said, they might not have the big numbers like Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks I mentioned earlier, they're all doing it in chunks and when they're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, they're great role players. Now, there's not going to be anything that just sets you on fire about them. You know, Edelman leads the Pats in receiving yards. I believe he had around 980-something yards receiving. They don't have a 1,000-yard receiver. They don't have to. It's spread around methodically.
Plus, with the works of Sony Michel, I think he had 120 yards in the AFC Championship game.
So Michel has over 250-plus yards rushing in the postseason, and he also has 5 touchdowns total during the postseason. So Sony Michel is getting the job done, and then when he's worn you down, insert Rex Burkhead.
I know. And, Burkhead,
about him.
Yeah, Burkhead had, one or two touchdowns that were critical during the AFC Championship game.
He had the touchdown that won the game in overtime.
Now, there's something about this, you know, this Patriots team seems like they're working with less, but it's working out. Like, they're all hustling and everything. It feels like they're more united, you know. And this, I don't know, it feels like this is like the last of this core group, or maybe I've always underestimated that.
Well, like I said, they're not the Patriots of old that we're used to, who just dominant in every category, and they don't have as many superstars on both sides of the ball like we've seen throughout the years. But they're still the Patriots. It's still Bill Belichick calling the shots. It's still Tom Brady at the helm. You know, he's still the leader of the team. You know, those two components are still going to allow the Patriots to be the Patriots. But the biggest thing is, yeah, it's that hustle you're talking about. You know, it's everybody playing their part. They got the greatest accumulation of role players who just bust their tail and do what they're supposed to do, especially when called upon. They're the most reliable and consistent players I've seen in the NFL.
Can you believe they have Cordell Patterson, and he's not doing much there, but he used to be the guy in Minnesota.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, he kind of lost his way after he left Minnesota. You know, he went to Oakland. Of course, we know the stinkhole that is. But he was a forgot-about man. But you take him to the NFL rehabilitation team, and that's New England. And all of a sudden, he has life again. No, he's not putting up blazing stats. But when called upon, he can provide a spark, whether at wide receiver or sometimes playing running back.
What's the difference between Saban and Belichick?
Age.
That's it?
It's the same coaching tree. You know, Saban is a descendant of the Belichick coaching tree. They're pretty much the same. Of course, Bill Belichick's got more championships, of course, but Saban's not too far from it either. He's not too far from it. Most definitely. I mean, but I think it's a little bit harder to put up that kind of numbers in college. But then again, you know, Belichick's defined the odds and won countless championships as well as countless championship appearances. It just is unheard of, and I would be reluctant to say that someone's going to catch that one day. It's hard to do.
You know, it's interesting because obviously we know that Nick Saban is a perfectionist. Belichick, we can say he is, but, you know, I think Belichick hides his ways really well compared to Saban.
Well, that's a difference right there. If I had to pick anything right there, is Belichick is a man of few words. He doesn't really voice his emotions. He really doesn't act out, whether it's at the podium talking to the press or on the sidelines when something's going wrong. Whereas Saban, he wears his emotions on his sleeve and throws them at you with the headset.
which Belichick did throw away the Surface Pad last weekend. So
yeah, but how often do we see a Belichick tirade?
That's probably the first time. which he's mentioned that he does not look. He doesn't like to use the tablets. He prefers using like the regular paper, you know, paper play notebook. So it's quite interesting how I guess the NFL makes the coaches use them.
I guess so, but you know, when Belichick can do what he wants, he's the man.
You know, do you think they could change the trophy from the Vince Lombardi trophy to the Bill Belichick trophy in the future?
You know what? There's a strong argument for it for sure.
it won't bother me, to be honest.
If someone were to propose that idea, I don't think you would get a whole lot of fallback from anybody.
Exactly. Late breaking news, the Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavericks. New York has agreed with Dallas on trade that includes Kristaps Porzingis, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., for Wesley Matthews, Dennis Smith Jr., and DeAndre Jordan. League sources tell ESPN players and agents are being notified of particulars. Deal may include more draft assets. What are your thoughts about that trade?
Well, to be honest with you, New York is quietly trying to insert themselves in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. They don't have quite a strong case as some of the other teams right now. They're trying to make some moves to make it as attractive as possible to Anthony Davis to possibly come over there. So I can understand that.
Yeah, and Justin is referring to Anthony Davis about a couple of days ago told New Orleans Pelicans that he does not want to resign with the Pelicans this summer, and he's requesting a trade. Now, the trade doesn't have to happen before the trade deadline this year, but it could happen in the summertime. Of course, the first rumor that comes up is he going to the Lakers. But what do you think about Anthony, his decision? Do you think he should stay with the Pelicans and, hey, let's just be patient and win a championship?
Well, you know, that's a big thing, you know, is what's Anthony Davis's motivation for all this? You know, is Anthony Davis following the trend of the I can't wait for a championship generation? You know, granted, this year, you know, New Orleans is 13th in the West. You know, I get that. But does he feel like that's going to be commonplace and that they're not going to really get above a team that's going to be either below 500 and missing the playoffs or a team that's going to, you know, every now and again get to maybe the first round and not really ascend to that elite level? Or does he see that they can't form a super team there in order to get them to that championship level?
Yeah, because all they have is Jrue Holiday.
Right, that's it. You know, they don't. And the thing is, though, you know, can you really pull together another super team? You know, that seems to be what the trend is in NBA right now. In order to win a championship, we got to form super squads to put, you know, your name in contention for it.
And
yeah, you know, I think the super squads are pretty much already set. You know, so it'd be hard for them to bring in, you know, those kind of players to New Orleans. And then you got also ask the question, does New Orleans have the pocketbook to make that move if it's possible?
You would think. I mean, do you think he could go to New York? I mean, you think New York's paving the way?
I think they're making an attempt. But to be honest with you, in your own opinion, is there really anything that's sexy about the Knicks right now?
No, not at all. It's and like the word that I've always heard is toxic.
It is toxic because, and the thing is, well, if I'm Anthony Davis and, you know, and I'm putting myself in his shoes, if I'm thinking he doesn't want another project team, that's why he's considering leaving New Orleans. You know, if he goes to New York, he's going to be on a project and it's going to take a while.
Might be more of the same or worse.
Well, it depends on how, like you just mentioned earlier, how toxic is that environment up there? How much reparation is going to need to be done in order to really get that program moving in a positive direction?
All I can tell you that Steve Kerr did not take the New York Knicks offer, even though it was way more money than what like the Warriors offered, and he said, "No, I'm not going there."
No, there's no point. There isn't.
You know, half your salary goes to taxes.
Big overhaul,
too.
What now?
Half your salary goes to taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but you know, it's cute that New York wants to try to put themselves in this, but there's this. It's a project, and Anthony Davis is not going to sit here and wait for that, you know, time to pass and for everything to fall into place. Needs to fall into place. So, and like I said, he may be one of these athletes. I could be wrong, but I'm more leaning towards this train of thought. He's one of those athletes that I can't wait for a championship. I got to have it now.
And he's only 25, you know, Justin.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, he's had the best season of his career. He's averaging 29.3 points per game, 13.3 rebounds per game, 4.4 assists per game, and 2.6 blocks per game. He's 25, and you know, he ain't really been broke in to his career just yet. He's got plenty of time, barring some kind of unforeseen injury. But then again, you know, this is the drive-through championship generation. We got to get to the promised land immediately.
Yeah, so, and, you know, like one of the propositions is the Lakers, and looks like if there has to be a trade with the Lakers, Lonzo Ball has to go. And I feel bad for that kid because I think he is the future of the Lakers, and it's tough to put him like right in the middle of it. You think Lonzo Ball should receive more respect than that?
Well, to be honest with you, man, I've never really been a big Lonzo Ball fan. I really wasn't a big fan of him coming out of college and into the league. And no, that doesn't have to do large in part to his dad running his mouth constantly. I just wasn't really that impressed with him in college. I think he did some good things. And in college, when he actually faced some opposition, he didn't exactly show up. But I just don't think that he was the guy that the Lakers need to build that team around. So, I mean, he could turn out to be that. I really can't make that call right now. But, you know, the Lakers here, you know, they are primed to be the leading candidate. And that's what social media will tell you. That's what every sports network will tell you.
or any player that requests a trade, Lakers are the number one team.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this is what people need to realize if you hadn't done the research. The Pelicans' asking price is quite lofty. I mean, it'd be pretty much equivalent to the Lakers selling their soul to them. They would have to give up Kuzma, Zubac, Ball, and a first-round pick.
Also Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, throw him in there, too.
That's a lot of good players.
You got some really promising talent there, man.
But if I was Magic Johnson
and with Ingram,
I would not let go of Ball. I really would not. I said, look, man, I promised you you'd be the franchise player. Look, I mean, God bless Anthony Davis, but I'm not really blown away with this kid, to be honest. He's not a Shaq. You know, he's skinny, he's lanky. No, does he have that grit? I don't think so.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have the toughness and the tenacity of a Shaq. Matter of fact, there's not a Shaq in the NBA because there's really not a true big man anymore because they're all soft and, you know, they all whine and complain.
Also, look at the situation with LeBron. I mean, he's going with a groin injury. I've never seen him set out like haven't set out for like this long. So it's kind of shaky. Ground going over there.
Age, my friend. That's the thing, man. You know, and let's say you do bring in Anthony Davis and LeBron's out while he's there like that. Do you really feel confident that Anthony Davis can take the reins of that team in LeBron's absence?
Yeah. Now we're trading with those four other players. Who do you have left?
Yeah. Well, and then exactly. And the thing is, they're throwing all the eggs in one basket. And there is a rumor out there. I don't know if you've heard this, that if the Warriors don't give Klay Thompson the big boy contract that he's wanting, he's going to be headed to L.A. So do you sell your soul with the hopes you get Davis and then possibly Klay Thompson? As a Lakers fan myself, I can't do it.
No, I
don't know if they're trying to appease LeBron or they're feeling the pressure of Golden State.
Do you think LeBron's requesting Anthony Davis?
You know, I think LeBron wants pieces in place for them to be a contender.
Yeah, because right now Lakers don't have a serious center. Center's big man, so of course. But still, you're giving up a lot for one guy. I mean, I wouldn't do it, Justin. I would not do it.
I wouldn't do it either. Those guys I named, they're young. And they've got so much potential and such a great upside.
It feels like the Lakers are shooting for a short-term fix. Look, let's play the long game. Lonzo, say what you say about him. This guy could win, you know, four championships in the future.
He could. And, you know, that's the thing is, the NBA right now is so fixated on the short term.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there is to piggyback that, there is a possibility of Davis landing on other teams.
Like
but he has a stipulation. He has a stipulation. If it's anyone but the Lakers, it's going to be a one-and-done deal.
Yeah, and also keep in mind I've been hearing rumors Kyrie Irving wants to join LeBron, which was a ridiculous rumor. And if they don't get along in Cleveland, they're not going to get along anymore.
That's just something to draw in viewers, listeners, what have you. I think they would give a push for it, but man, Kyrie wants to have Kyrie's team. He don't want to be. I could be wrong, but from what I saw while they were together, he don't want to be with a LeBron team.
No, and the thing is,
and start. you know, insert the next part of this discussion here. The fly in the Lakers' ointment right now is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Boston is in the running, but it may be dependent upon Kyrie Irving returning. And, but the Celtics do strongly believe if they can snag Davis, that Kyrie will follow suit.
Yeah, and speaking about Kyrie Irving, I mean, this young guy, young player. I mean, obviously still young, but I feel like him. You know, when you switch teams a lot, I don't like that. I think that's a red flag. Your career is not.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. And that's what I hate about this generation of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, he should have stuck with Cleveland. He should have waited a year till LeBron left, and it would have been his team.
Well, maybe so, but I mean. But maybe Boston's his team, but he needs to give it time. You know, but here's the thing. Lots of Lakers, Boston's preparing to sell their soul as well. They're offering they're proposing to put together this massive trade deal, you know, if Davis stays past the trade deadline, and they could offer any or all the following players. They got Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, and possibly Jason Tatum. And that's the question. Can Boston get out of this deal without having to give up Tatum?
And there, Boston is in fifth place right now in the Eastern Conference Final. Of course, you got Milwaukee, the surprising team. Well, I'm not sure about surprises. I mean, maybe for some people, the number one. And then you get the Raptors, which is really surprising as well. Sixers, Pacers, then Celtics, Nets, and my Heat are seventh, and the Hornets are eighth. So the East is it feels like it's up for grabs. I think it could be going.
It is.
You know, the Bucks go to the finals. The Raptors can go to the finals. Sixers, Pacers, not so much because they just lost Oladipo. But Celtics is fifth.
Right.
I don't know why they're fifth. Is it because the Kyrie chemistry is not working out, or it's just there's better teams than that?
It could be a number of things, man. You know, it's about teams hitting highs, and then it's about lows. It goes in cycles. You know, Boston could have this huge momentum swing, and they could just really take off in the later part of the season. But I do have to agree with you. The talent on some of those other teams you just mentioned are very, very good. Yeah, so it is making it a little bit harder for Boston to be the team in the East.
And to be honest, people are saying the East are more exciting than the West this year. And the West is just, let's be honest, it's just the Warriors.
Yeah, it's just the Warriors. You got
teams
that are pretending to be.
But
you got teams that are pretending that like they're going to be there, the Thunder, the Rockets. Teams like that, but let's call it what it is. It's the Golden State Conference.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Warriors could pretty much, just give them a bye to the finals, pretty much.
And they could, unless they beat themselves. back to Davis, just talking about the trade deadline, there is some concern right now that if they don't deal him out before the trade deadline, which, by the way, New Orleans is in no hurry to do.
I wouldn't either.
There is concern that head coach Alvin Gentry may not play him. He may sit him.
Really?
And matter of fact, when he's been asked about it, he's not really committing, and he's being very vague in his responses. Oh, and I don't know if you heard about this, Santiago, but
what's up?
Davis has been removed from the intro video for the Pelicans.
Well, I don't know what that means. That means they're preparing for a trade, or they're just, look, you said this and you're going to be silenced. I don't know. That's a good observation.
So, the question is, what has Dell Demps, the GM, got going on in his mind?
I don't know.
And today he finally did return a call to Rob Pelinka. Doesn't really go anywhere with it, but he up until now, he hasn't been returning calls to him. So he's trying to make the Lakers squirm and work for it a little bit. So,
We'll see what happens in New Orleans, super teams. And, you know, speaking about super teams, the Warriors didn't need Durant. They could have won, won without him.
Absolutely, man. That chemistry was already there. They already had really good players. They already had great role players. It was just a little extra. If anything, Durant needed them more than they needed Durant.
Exactly. Well, anyways, sticking with basketball, college basketball, Alabama basketball took down another ranked team. The Crimson Tide defeated the 22nd ranked Mississippi State 83-79 on Tuesday night. Bama has 3 wins over top 25 teams in the month of January. Is their success translating into basketball?
Well, you know, right now we're sitting at 13-7 overall, 4-3 in the SEC. Yeah, we just beat a very good Mississippi State team, 83-79. Here are a few takeaways from that game. First of all, you know, we had a 14-point lead, and we almost gave it all up. And that's the trouble that Alabama has had this year, as well as seasons past, of just not holding on to a lead. You know, they had a good lead against Texas A&M earlier this year, gave it up, lost. Had a good lead against Tennessee. No, they didn't. Sorry, let me backtrack. But Alabama are currently the most consistently inconsistent team out there. And this, and you know, you could argue this is partly due to having a young team. Yeah, they do have big wins. Yeah, they do. But they just aren't establishing that strong winning streak that you want to see, especially as we approach March. You know, in that game, Dante Hall was very good, led us in scoring, you know, alongside sophomore phenom John Petty's 13 points. When we had some guys in foul trouble, Ryan Norris stepped up, contributed key 11 points to help finish the game. And while we normally struggle from the free throw line, we finished 5 of 8 down the stretch to really seal the game. And, you know, and that brings up an interesting stat. Alabama, they're one of the biggest problems they have at the free throw line. As a team, they're shooting 68%. That's not good. You know, that's not going to win games. Their field goal percentage as a team gets it. There is 45.1%.
Wow.
That's not going to get it done. You know, Dante Hall actually, he himself is 62.3%, you know, from the field. But 45.1%?
That's no bueno.
No, not at all. You know, Alabama's got some really good young athletic talent. You know, Kara Lewis, he's averaging 13.7 points per game. He's actually 84% from the free throw line. The rest of the team is garbage. I'm just kidding. John Petty, super sophomore, 11.8 points per game. Had a huge game against the number one ranked team in the land, Tennessee. Dante Hall, 11.7 points per game, 8.9 rebounds per game. But, you know, it just sticks out like a sore thumb having that low free throw percentage and field goal percentage. You know, let me just throw some things out. Yeah, we've had some big wins this year. Beat Kentucky, spanked Ole Miss by 21, beat Mississippi State, beat Arizona, beat Murray State. But on the flip side, we've had some bad losses to Northeastern. Where is that, Santiago?
Hey, you know, it's basketball, but you guys have been 3 good teams so far. So it, you know.
Yeah, we've been 3 good teams, but we still have lost to a team, Northeastern, Georgia State, a bad Texas A&M team. You know, we had that loss against Tennessee that we should have won. Now, granted, you know, I will fight this to the end. We lost that game due to a controversial phantom traveling call against John Petty. It just didn't happen. But Alabama, to their defense, they did overcome a 15-point deficit. They showed a lot of grit and toughness, and then they came out the next week, spanked Ole Miss, but then dropped a game they shouldn't have against Baylor.
The SEC, Alabama, is at fifth position in the table. In SEC basketball, compared to football, they're all in one table. They're not split off east and west.
Right.
First place is LSU, then Tennessee, then Kentucky, then South Carolina and Alabama. So you see the differences. I guess LSU is the one that translates their victory, I mean, their success from football to basketball really well. You see Georgia towards the bottom in Auburn. So it's quite, it's kind of different when you just compare it to just football. So it's, but Alabama, it's
right,
hanging in there.
We're getting there. And, you know, the next six games is really key for Alabama. This is really big here. Five out of the next six games are all on the road. That's going to be a tough, tough task. And, you know, we're at Auburn, who's pretty good. We're at Georgia, at Vandy, at Mississippi State, who's going to be looking to get revenge on us. Then we come home and play Florida, and then we go to Texas A&M. You know, some of those teams aren't really as good, you know, in the win column. But when you're playing five out of six games on the road, that's a tough task. I don't care who you are. But here's the thing about Alabama. You know, they had two big games against LSU and Tennessee. To really make a case for themselves, they really should have won one out of two, but they were 0-2. You know, and keys for Alabama down the stretch, they've got to be consistent in the win column. They got to finish games and have them the lead. I cannot stress this next point enough. Improve on free throw shooting. You know, also we need increased leadership and production from upperclassmen like Riley Norris and Dazon Ingram. You know, Norris in the past two games has had double digit scoring. We need a little bit more from him. He's the lone senior on the team. And a very important game on the schedule is going to be on March 2nd when we play LSU. Going to have to beat the Tigers some way. And then we're going to have a strong showing in the SEC tournament to be considered, you know, to go to the NCAA tournament. Now, you know, I love Avery Johnson. I think, you know, hiring him was an incredible get. But he's in his fourth year, and he's only had one NCAA tournament appearance. So, you know, we need to start seeing regular appearances. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. I'm not saying fire up the, you know, getting fire bandwagon, but we need to go to that next level. You know, Alabama fans are tired of the NIT. You know, it's like you can't have the NIT without Alabama.
Hey, if there's no NIT, you. I mean, if Alabama is not in the NIT, you can't report from it about it.
I know. So what do I do? I got to talk about other teams. I don't want to talk about other teams, Santiago. I don't watch my team during March Madness. You know,
let's join the conversation.
If they get put out first and second round, you know what? So be it. I want to see them there. You know, I would love to see us one time get to another Elite Eight. You know, we haven't seen an Elite Eight since I think it was 2004, 2005 under Mark Gottfried. We've never seen in our school history a Final Four. Which we've had some very talented teams, but we've never seen a Final Four.
Who played in that team?
On which team?
The 04 team. Anyone famous?
Mo Williams. Mo was gone. No one famous on that 04 team.
Bunch of nobodies.
Actually, it was a bunch of nobodies that showed up to the tournament and have one of those Cinderella runs. Matter of fact, they beat the, I think, the number one team in the country in Stanford that year to get to Elite Eight and beat Syracuse.
Well, there you have it.
They just had one of those magical trips, man. But, yeah, no really standout players on that team. You know, we had Ronald Steele when he was healthy. And had he stayed healthy, he probably would have been in the NBA. But nobody really significant.
But do you have a good feeling about this year?
Be honest with you, not quite yet. You know, great, we beat Kentucky. That's a step in the right direction. And that's the first victory we've had against Kentucky, I believe, in 8 tries. I think that's right. But, you know, but the thing is, with every big victory, we'll drop games we shouldn't. We're not consistent. You know, if we can get on a 5 or 6 game win streak, I would feel a whole lot better. Do we have a good schedule to, that can get us off the bubble and into the tournament? We do, but we really need to make it unquestionable. We need to go on a like I said, a 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 game win streak.
Yeah,
and then, you know, storm into the SEC tournament and win 2 or 3 games. Hey, heck, get to the championship game itself.
Now, like the SEC tournament is a knockoff tournament, right? They'll have like a bracket of 8 or something.
Right.
Okay.
Not every team gets in.
We'll see what happens. We'll take a look at, because, you know, like the sportscast, this is our first, you know, true sportscast inside of what's going to happen with, you know, like with college basketball. And, of course, last year we did cover it a little bit with March Madness, but we'll definitely get into the SEC and probably Pac-12. And of course, Krista's team is Florida, which is right behind you guys. So we'll see who pans out in the SEC. And speaking about Alabama, Alabama football, there's sources that say that Major Applewhite to interview for analyst job at Alabama. Nick Saban's arsenal of assistants appears to get stronger. Sources told Bama Insider on Wednesday that Major Applewhite is interviewing for an analyst job at Alabama this week. Applewhite, who spent the past 2 years as the head coach at Houston, served as the offensive coordinator at Alabama during Saban's first year with the Crimson Tide in 2007. What are your thoughts about
left.
That?
Still stuck with us. You'd have a job right now. No, I'm just kidding. Applewhite, for the longest time, especially when he first came onto the scene with Nick Saban as the offensive coordinator that first season, has been regarded as one of the better offensive minds in college football. And I don't think that you really need to hold his experience at Houston against him. I think they're a little bit too hasty in letting him go that quick. He's only there for 2 seasons. And I just don't understand that at all. But if anybody can get a coach back on the right path, it's Nick Saban and the Saban home for wayward coaches. And I think him coming there is just going to allow him to further develop and mature and perhaps even get back some confidence he may have lost because of his recent experiences. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think college football as a whole, you know, they haven't written Major Applewhite off. I still think that there's value in him. And I believe that with Coach Saban, he's going to make that value only increase. Heck, I would have taken him above Sarkisian.
Wow.
I think a lot of Alabama fans would.
But, you heard it here first.
No, I did. You did. So that's what I'm saying. But it's a great thing. And while a lot of people, as you mentioned, you know, earlier, that we're solidifying things, a lot of people were perhaps ready to press the panic button. And I need to remind everybody, trust the process. Saban's doing just fine, and what did he do? He went out and got some quality hires to fill those holes. And I think that we're in great shape going into this next season, and we're going to be solid. And the guys who are coming in filling those roles, they got some pretty nice talent to be working with.
Speaking about talent,
especially
go ahead.
Especially Sarkisian.
Speaking about talent, one of the top recruits, Marcus Benjamin, a top Alabama commit, is expected to decommit, and he might be heading to Miami or Clemson. So that could reflect the number one recruiting class. You guys could be bumped down to 2. So,
well, yeah, so be it. And, you know, the grand scheme of things, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic or an ass about it, but if so be it. you know.
Yeah. You guys are loaded anyway, so either way, I mean, if you bump
well,
into
I mean, we've done an impeccable job putting together the finest combination our cast of high school talent to be the future of that team. And we have talent that's already there. It's only going to get better. Who's going to work with and mentor these new guys coming in? Alabama's going to be just fine. Oh, and by the way, we still got Nick Saban.
Yeah, that is.
I think we're going to be okay. Yeah. And if we drop down a notch in the human rankings, oh well, sleep on us.
So
I want you to sleep on us, please sleep on us. And think that it's the downfall.
Speaking about coaches, Dallas Cowboys is unlikely to extend Jason Garrett's contract. What do you think about that?
Are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. I thought they were after they beat Seattle, but I guess they were waiting until, you know, what would happen against the Rams.
You know, I think that a lot of the people really don't feel that Jason Garrett's the guy.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, I even pleaded this case because I said, well, you know, Jason didn't have the talent around him. You know, they're just missing pieces. There's not dominant receivers, you know, this and that. But, I'm beginning to back away from that a little bit.
But then Jerry Jones wants a strong personality coach? Jason Garrett fits that mold that he can follow orders from Jerry.
He don't want a strong-willed coach because that means they'd have to do what that Jerry wouldn't have his way. Yeah. That's why he wouldn't be able to keep Bill Parcells there when he was there.
That's true.
That's why he ran off Jerry Johnson.
I mean, it won't happen this summer. I'm sure he has another year or so.
But what do I think about it? I think Jerry Jones is not going to give a full out commitment or decommitment right now until he sees Garrett go through another season with the weapons he has now.
With Amari.
With another season, with Amari Cooper. Another season with him. With Dak, with Zeke. But I will tell you, if they really want to get to the next level, they've got to find that number two guy at wide receiver. A strong number two that's going to take pressure off Amari.
Wouldn't it be cool if Julio, would it be cool if it's like Antonio Brown?
No, I don't want him. That guy's a cancer.
I was about to say Julio Jones, but I don't know what to do with his contract.
I say I don't want him like I'm a Cowboys fan. But speaking for the Cowboys, I would not want him because he's a cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, his attitude towards the Steelers. With Steelers, it's a very respectable team, organization. But I don't know. They've been, mishandling with Bell and Brown. I would have cut those guys in a heartbeat.
Well, that's the thing, man. But they let that nonsense go on for way too long.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
And it had an incredible impact on the team's success.
Wow. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show.
The finale.
Game predictions. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
I'm ready to get to it, man.
Okay. Well, we got some NBA.
If something comes up, I'll think about it. But I am looking forward to that random question of the day that you always throw at me.
Oh, of course. Of course, we have some NBA games, and I'm sure you're able to predict these. The 76ers at the Golden State Warriors.
Ooh. Well, the 76ers are an up-and-coming team. I do like them. I do like what they are becoming. Great, 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 great young talent, but it's the Warriors, man. Gotta go with the Warriors.
The Warriors win in Golden State, which they're kind of hot right now. Lakers at the Clippers, L.A. Derby.
Man, I think my prediction is going to be more out of a Lakers fan desperation pick. The Lakers are going to win this game, and they've got to do it, man, to get back on the right track. And they've dropped way too many games. Yeah, LeBron's out. I get that, man. But if these young guys want to stick around in this whole Anthony Davis carousel,
they're going to play tonight.
All these talk, they've got to step up, and they got to show the Lakers brass, hey, we're valuable, and you would stand to lose a lot more cutting us than you would, you know, getting Anthony Davis.
You know something?
So
why would they trade all those players? You know, it's the middle of the season. Lakers could go to the playoffs with this core. Why, you know, break something that it's not broken yet? You know, wait till the summer.
You can't. It's desperation. It's it's drive-through approach to a championship. It's do it now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they don't know what this team could do. You know, you get LeBron healthy again, and he's able to get back into that nucleus. He's able to form those players into what it will take for them to be successful. I think you'll see a much improved Lakers team that will make the playoffs and may even surprise some folks and get to a second or third round.
Very possible.
You know, you can't just go ahead and pick up your toys and go home. Matter of fact, they need to come to some kind of conclusion to this whole deal, so it won't inject a poison into that team's chemistry. So it will not be a distraction to that team.
Totally,
they
got
to move forward. They're only one game above 500.
Yeah, psychologically speaking, that's true. Anyways, big game of the weekend, of course, Patriots versus the Rams in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Dome. I mean, a stadium.
Yes, yes. You know, it's really funny is that up until now, everybody is cheering against the Patriots and except the Patriots fans. But I think you're going to have a lot of one night, one time only Patriots fans just because they felt like New Orleans should be there and they want the Patriots to win out of spite. But it's going to be an interesting game. Like I said earlier, the Patriots are going to have to be the Patriots. You know, expose the inexperience of the Rams. Show them that they aren't supposed to be there. Or, let me rephrase that. Show them, you're not quite ready yet, son. You know? And don't let them hang around. You know, don't try to do what you did against the Chiefs. Put them away when you get the chance. Now, I think it's going to be a higher scoring game than what some expect. And I think New England's offense will have a little tougher time just because
of that. Did you say New Orleans?
Incredible. To New England.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you trying to stir up controversy, Santiago?
You won New Orleans in the Super Bowl? They want a replay, apparently, like today.
I do. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Right now. And shame on Roger Goodell waiting till right now to address it. He didn't really address it. He was a cop-out.
Well, he didn't really have to. It was a done deal. They can't replay these things. It's, you know, it's already a weekend. 2 weeks in.
Whatever. Anyway, I think in order for the Rams to have a chance in this game, I could be way off base. Like we talked about earlier, Santiago, Todd Gurley is going to be Todd Gurley. He's going to have to set the tone and do what he does. And the offense is going to have to build off of that. You know, and, you know, I don't think that Goff is quite ready to be the guy who carries the team on his shoulders and leads them to a big win like that yet. This is Todd's team. He's a face of the offense. C.J. Anderson isn't going to do the job. I think he's a great compliment. He's not going to do the job. Gurley has got to be Gurley. But the Patriots, do what you do best. Get your offensive output in chunks. Wear them down. And I think they will. I think they're going to wear him down and constantly switch it up between Edelman, Hogan, White, Gronk, Burkhead, Michelle. And I honestly see Tom Brady coming away with another title.
Justin says it. The Patriots win their sixth title of all time. Random question of the week.
Make it a good one.
What's the best type of puzzle? Jigsaw, crossword, Sudoku, or word search?
Tetris.
Is that an option?
Come on, man. Crossword is always one of my favorites, man.
Crossword?
Crossword, man. Really stimulates the brain and really gets you to really think hard and deep. So, plus I like to, a lot of people around me can't really do them very well, so I'm pretty good at it. So I like to have that advantage over my friends. So I'm going to go with what I'm good at and say crossword.
Crossword puzzle. And back into memory lane, do you remember Adam Archuleta?
Of course, man. He was one of the most hard-hitting safeties to ever play the game. Great kid out of Arizona State. Played a number of successful seasons with the Rams. Good player.
I think he was the best with the Rams, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did, man. He had the best moments in his career there.
Well, Adam Archuleta, it's funny because, you know, we were asking about was there any more white cornerbacks, and all we could think of was Jason Seahorn, and one guy
he was a safety.
And one guy thought that Archuleta was also a corner, but no, he was a safety.
Safety.
Close enough.
He was a linebacker. He was a safety and playing like a linebacker is what he was. at that time it was him, and then there was Lynch. Two of the hardest hitting safeties in the game, man. Those guys could just drop a guy. Woo.
Anyways, Justin, how can people reach you this weekend to talk about the Super Bowl outcome?
As always, you can reach me via email, 121Training. That's number 121 spelled out, training at gmail.com. You can follow me on Facebook, /121Training. Twitter or Instagram, at 121Training.
And are you going to pig out for a Super Bowl?
That's the plan, dude. Best part of the Super Bowl, other than the game itself and the commercials, is the insane amounts of food you get to take down.
It's
by the way, I'm a personal trainer.
it's probably like the best. The next big thing after Christmas is when you're able to pig out. It's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I can't really think of any other occasions that's like super pig out opportunities.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then you got Super Bowl. Who pigs out on Valentine's
Day? Super Bowl,
Day?
Maybe July 4th, depending on what kind of traditions your families have. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you're pretty much guaranteed a feast for Super Bowl. You got to do it right.
Well, anyways, last time at this channel, go to thesportscast.net, Fully Sports, and we'll definitely have more programming in the future. But the Sportscast, about this time, is our one-year anniversary, so definitely really excited about the transition to a full-time channel network, and hopefully we'll see more stuff in the upcoming months.
It's going to be exciting, man. Looking forward to what's ahead.
Anyways, the Sportscast signing off. Justin, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, sir.